It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Well, farm to table suggests that something starts on the farm and ends up on a table. But the way that many people get it is not just as necessarily at a farmer's market or direct. They go to stores. And not just any stores, but what happens at the store level? And what are the choices being made? And what's the kind of products that are available for consumers? That varies a lot. And today I have a special guest, and it's Mike Teal. And Mike owns a supermarket company. He's the CEO of Raley's. It's a Sacramento-based supermarket company of over 120 stores, Mike.
That's right.
And they operate under brands that are Raley's and Bel Air Markets and Nob Hill Foods and Food Source. Did I leave any out?
Nope. Well, there's one more coming that we haven't yet opened yet. It's a prototype store. Soon to be open.
Is it a secret, or can you share the?
Well, I can share. It's called Market 515. It's a new concept for us, and it's separately organized from the mothership so that they have the freedom to be entrepreneurs and carry out the mission. Mm-hmm. which is partly the name, Market 515. 515 is May 15th. That's both my birthday and the day that I acquired Raley's. It also stands for five nutrients that exist, the five senses that you use when you're selecting or eating food.
Yeah.
And then the one is organic, natural, and education. So it's going to be about organics and educating the consumer about healthier food choices.
Well, now that's interesting. I have to go back, and even if your birthday is May 15th, and you're a Taurus, which it means you're supposed to be managing supermarket chains and that sort of thing. But when you have a model that's been successful, but why would you decide to start this other concept? What made you think that in addition to having this lineup of the kind of supermarkets that you have, with things people expect, I mean, you got frozen foods and canned goods and fresh produce and delicatessens and so forth, but why did you decide to try this new concept?
It was really born out of my frustration.
Really?
Yeah. Do we have time for a story?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I'll try and keep it simple. When I decided that I had the privilege of acquiring the company from my family, I knew I was going to be involved in this. I'm 66 years old now, and I would probably be involved into my very senior years, and I needed something that I felt would really keep me engaged. And so I also knew that this world is highly competitive and changing a lot. And so how are we, number one, going to have a sustainable financial model in the future? And how are you going to engage the owner, you know, up through the rest of his life? And so I spent some time inventorying, you know, what really gets me engaged. And I looked past over my life over the last 30, 40 years, and I saw a thread of health and wellness that was woven through several milestones in my life that I won't bore you with, but I thought, you know what? Maybe that's a good way to differentiate us and keep me engaged, is develop a passion and a mission. And so we decided we were going to become a purpose-driven company. We were going to make all of our decisions around that purpose. And our purpose started off very simple, around infusing life with health and happiness. We then added on to that to be a little bit more descriptive, to infuse life with health and happiness by changing the way the world eats, one plate at a time. And so we're making our decisions around that, but unfortunately, everybody else in the world isn't necessarily doing that. And so how do we transform a standard conventional supermarket into one that is educating the customers, moving them down towards better choices, more sustainable choices, healthier choices, focusing their eating habits on better eating habits? How do you do that without losing, you know, saying goodbye to your customers, without preaching to them? Yeah. And I recognized that was going to be somewhat of a journey. And I wanted to kind of leapfrog. So I thought, well, let's create another brand that can just go there and not alienate existing customers. If we suddenly removed, for example, I'd love to remove all the cereals out of my stores. Mm-hmm. Most all of them. Sure. They're sugar-laden. And I just can't do that. Customers would depart from my stores. So what can I do to advance knowledge and advance food choices and offerings that are in the healthier choice without alienating our existing customers? And the answer was build a new brand.
So you do probably in your existing stores, before we get into the new format, you do trend towards getting healthier. I would imagine you can make decisions like what goes on the shelf, and that you can keep kind of
pushing the envelope,
pushing a little bit more. Yeah. But you've got to have those products, those other products as well.
That's right.
So with this new model then, with this new store, is it smaller in size than your typical supermarket?
Yes. The first prototype store is an urban store. It's going to be in the urban Sacramento area. We have two other locations in the Bay Area that we're holding on right now. But it's like 10,000 square feet as opposed to 50,000 square feet. So it's 1/5 of the size. That way it can be closer to the consumer. You can have more of them for the demographic that fits the demographics. Obviously, it's it's going to be a higher educated consumer. It's probably going to be a dual income family. It has both millennials and older clientele. But the market is more specific. It's not a broad market. It's a very specific demographic. And so we want to be able to have stores that can not only be clustered in a geographic region, but can skip and move into other regions too, where these demographics exist. So that brand could expand more rapidly than, say, a 50,000, 40,000 square foot brand.
So this store, you're going to get your prototype up and running and learn lessons from that. You're going to, I'm going to ask you this about in a minute, about the people you think are probably going to be drawn to it. And perhaps you'll learn that somebody else is when you get into it. But then from that, you'll say, okay, we've worked the kinks out of it. We're going to open a few more. And then hopefully the lessons can translate and you'll learn something from it you might be able to put into your other supermarkets then.
Exactly. That's part of the thinking, that it's a great place to test new products. A lot of these new products that come online, they can't supply a huge, large chain. It's actually one of the advantages we've had over some of our competitors. Even though Raley's is $3 billion in retail sales and 125 stores, we're getting to the size where sometimes these startup companies can't supply an entire chain our size. But we have the flexibility to go to certain regions and make those offerings. And in this store, the smaller store, smaller volume, that even makes it a lot easier for some of these entrepreneurial startups that are developing new products and trying to bring them onto market.
Now, the larger supermarkets have a whole lot of things that aren't just food. So are you going to trim those down quite a bit because of the smaller footprint of the store, that you'll not have very much of the non-food items in the store?
That's correct. I mean, there would be supplements, which I would consider a food item.
You don't have around a row of diapers?
No. Yeah, no. It would be mostly food, fresh products. A lot of local products, that's part of its mission, too, is to be a little closer to the point of production. So you'll see a lot of the Sacramento products in this first store, and then we'd have to develop a supply chain that allows products coming in from different areas into the supply chain.
So in a traditional supermarket, oftentimes you'll have fresh produce. You either go to the right or to the left when you walk in the door, oftentimes, and you've got fresh produce. So will you be organized somewhat like that, that there will be, you know, packaged goods and canned goods in the middle and produce and dairy or meat on the outside?
Yeah. No, at 10,000 square feet, you really don't have that luxury. No. You're kind of walking in and you see everything from one spot. So, no, it would be a little bit different shopping experience. Obviously, there's going to be some aisles. But there'll be some food service, not a lot, because you can't in a smaller store do that much. But
do you mean that's like take-home meals?
Yes, but that's okay. What I mean by food service. But mostly fresh meats, organic proteins, a lot of fresh vegetables, and packaged products that have been minimally processed and nutrient-dense from the local region.
From the local region. Now, that's mm-hmm. pretty different, too.
Yeah. Well,
because now, fresh, I get it. I mean, but products that are in cans and jars and so forth might be packaged somewhere else and brought in, but you're going to try as much as possible to have that locally as well.
Yeah, right. And we have the luxury of being here in the agricultural
scene
of the agricultural world, really here in California.
If you're in New York City, it's not quite as easy.
Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult, yeah.
Yeah, and so again, you've got, on the fresh, you'll have all the fruits and vegetables, mostly local, except you're going to have to have your bananas come from somewhere else. But
obviously.
Yeah. But aside from that, get them local. Let me ask you about that. So how, when you're starting from scratch like this, sort of, is it going to be a whole different supply chain relationship? Like there's a buyer for this prototype that rather than necessarily the ones that are, purchasing for your other stores?
Right. As I said, it's organized separately, reports up to the top to the president of this company, but they have the freedom to acquire and buy as they see fit using their, for example, they're going to use their own point of sale system. As long as we're able to support it or integrate it within our existing systems, they can do that. But they have a lot of freedom to make their own choices. They're making all their buying decisions. They're meeting with suppliers and vendors. Being a small and a startup, obviously they're relying a lot on the main supplier of a lot of their packaged goods, which would be UNFI.
What's that?
UNFI?
Yeah.
It's a
sure.
Natural food supplier.
Right, right. Yeah. So, help me just again. So if you're going to hire me to put together that department, and you'd say, here's your job, Roger. You're going to reach out to these farmers. You're going to say, hey, we're here now. We're in business. You kind of start accumulating who can be growing all these things and try to have meetings with them about giving you the supply you need.
We'll meet with local people at the drop of a hat. And actually, that's part of the reason I'm talking with you. The more we can get the word out, the more opportunity we have to meet with people that are local producers.
Can they just call Raley's and say, I'm a local producer, I've listened to this, and
Call me, Mike Teal. I'll get him in contact with the individuals that
somehow, I don't know, some of the other chains, I don't know, it'd be quite that easy. You could call the owner, but I think this is heartening because there's more and more people that are getting started with their own smaller farms, and they just don't know how to handle the whole distribution end of it. And the fact that you're open to that and you want to help them offer it to your consumers. Now the other category. What about the meats? It's more difficult to get local meat because of places that are licensed to mm-hmm. process meats.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you'll be approaching that? The meat supply.
It's going to be local. And most, I think it's almost like 100% organic as far as the proteins are concerned. So they'll have sustainable seafood. We'll work with their suppliers that by local. Now we're talking, obviously, the seafood comes from the Pacific Northwest, sure. But it's a local provider that's housed in California.
Yeah.
Your lamb, they're growing lambs right down the street.
Yeah.
In Yolo County. So there's a lot of places where you can get protein that is local based. And all we have, we've been working on this for 2 years, so all we had to do is get the word on the street, and suppliers are coming to us to entertain their products. So it's not as difficult as you might think.
So if you were going to, these are seasonal foods, so that's the thing with fresh, seasonal. Even in California, we got times where you don't have everything available, and then then they need to be able to buy canned or jarred or frozen. And you already said you're going to make a priority on those products mm-hmm. being local as well. So that's going to be it's a great idea. It's a great process. Now, I think that as you're starting to get this store up and running, who do you think is going to come and shop there? Do you have in mind what the demographics are probably going to look like for this store?
Yeah, they'll be millennials, millennials, dual income, educated, working families will be a primary customer. And then I think that the professional workforce would be a good customer, particularly since this is an urban site. You've got a lot of accountants, attorneys, business people that reside in the downtown Sacramento area that would be prime candidates for this. It's principally highly educated. They've been through their elementary schools, and they've been through their high schools and colleges. They have degrees. You find those are the customers that are more particular about the food they eat. They have the luxury of having disposable income that many people don't have that luxury. So it's one of the problems in our society we're faced with, that we have to figure out a way to deal with better.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you're over 60 now, mm-hmm. and you know you're looking for healthier food. So I would imagine that end of the spectrum, not just millennials, but also people that are trying to make sure they're taking care of themselves.
That's a great point. My generation, which is getting older and older all the time, I think we tend to be very, very concerned about our longevity and our health and wellness. We were very active as young people, and we were wanting to stay active, and it's becoming more and more difficult as you get a little older, but principally we do stay active. We're active adults, and so how do we maintain that? How do we keep that activity going? And one of the ways is by the food you eat or don't eat. And it has a big impact on your mobility, your flexibility, and your inflammatory responses and things like that. So this kind of store is really good for that kind of customer.
You know, Mike, I have to share with you an experience I had. I was in Harlem, and I was working with some farmers that were from up in upstate New York that were bringing food down to different areas of Harlem and showing, you know, how to use some of the vegetables and so forth. But also, I went to this store that everybody would know. It's now owned by Amazon now, and right in the middle of Harlem. And I sat there at the counter and watching people go through the line, and you had a sense that you wouldn't guess that it would be doing so much business, but man, it was really, really hopping. And just when you might have suspected, because it was a poor area, mm-hmm. and it would be in around it, there was kind of food deserts, but it was really doing very well. I guess the reason I raise that is that when you start giving choices like you're going to be having, I think it might be surprising at all that there'll be a really broad spectrum that will be wanting to take advantage of it.
There is, and I mean, we're seeing it in the mothership at Raley's. We're leading the way. We like to think we're leading the way in healthy choices. We remove cigarettes from all of our stores. We have removed the sale of sugar-laden soda from the front registers. You have to go into the center of the store to find that. We're almost 100% candy-free at the front end. So those are decisions that our customers are responding to positively, scared the heck out of us at the office. But when you say, hey, if this is our purpose and our mission in life, how are we going to advance that purpose and mission? That made it a little bit less scary to make those decisions. But once we made them, we found out the consumer responds positively. Our market share continues to grow. So I think there's a marketplace for it. It just doesn't want to go as fast as Mike wants to go or would like to go.
It takes somebody starting, though. And now one question I have to ask you. When you do something like this, I would guess that a lot of things would be higher priced than other stores. I mean, you just assume that it's going to be local and special and this kind of quality. Would that be, you think that'll be the case, that they tend to be, that it would tend to be a little higher priced?
Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more margin, and I don't want to get too technical.
Sure.
There's obviously more margin as well as a little bit higher price. However, on the retail side or the customer side, that's the advantage is with the customer, because as more and more stores come online, and Amazon's a great example, the retail price starts coming down, as well as the margin, the profit level that the retailer has. But that's really the name of the game, is staying sharp and being able to deliver great products at a good, you know, affordable margin. So the customer, it's a win-win for the customer. The challenge is who survives in the retail game and the supply game. But I think it's a good thing, and I think there's room for it. But it actually helped us make good decisions. For example, let me give you a simple example.
Sure.
We were scared to not sell soda at the register.
Yeah.
Because not only do we get paid a lot of money from the soda supplier for those refrigerators and to put the product in there, but there's good margin in it too. And it's huge volume. It's very impulsive. So when we said, well, let's take it out, we were afraid we'd lose a lot of revenue. But what we found and what the supplier found was, yes, the sales line dropped, but the margin dollars that they were getting were a lot greater. So it was a win-win for us and win-win for them. And I like to think it's a win for the consumer because they're making a healthier choice.
Yeah. What about organic? Are you you were mentioning that you'll have quite a bit of organic, but it won't be exclusive organic, is that right?
It will lean towards organic. Whenever possible, there will be an organic offering. If not, then you have to have it's tough to get an organic banana sometimes.
Sure. Well, on the other hand, I hear people say that if they can't get it organic, if that's what they're looking for, they just want to understand. They want to have a good story. So have you given some thought on how you're going to tell the story about the food and how it was grown and where it came from?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping the point of difference is the employees are going to be people who are passionate.
They know.
They're going to be passionate about their supply chain. They've actually selected the products. So
you take them out on the farms?
Sure. I think they've already been out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be able to tell that story better than we could ever do that.
We're going to do shelf talkers too, or little blackboards or anything like that.
Yes.
The
decor helps tell the points of sale, and decor package can help.
Say, you know, Mike, so cut to the bottom line here. You're a guy that's had a dream, and you own the company, so you say, you know, by golly, I'm going to do it. We're going to do it, and we're going to step out there. And you're not only testing the market, but you are you're creating a model that you're figuring out what works. As a result of that, you might get some other stores. Once you get one going, you get a couple more going. And then also as a result of that, you're going to learn stuff that applies to the other supermarkets, that you'll be able to shift them that direction. So you're going to be helping the farmers, helping the consumers, and taking the public towards getting these healthier choices they can feel good about. You must feel good about that.
I do. I feel really good about it. I just would like to do it faster and better.
Well, you know, the other thing that I look at feeling good is glad to see someone like you that wants to do something like this, because it's good for all the people we said. But the other thing I look at selfishly for the whole country is other people are going to copy you. You know, if you make it work, it won't be long before you have competitors.
Well, that's part of our mission, you know, changing the way the world eats.
Yeah.
So it's the one decision that we make, and a competitor makes the same decision to test it out, and then another competitor someplace else, and then another competitor. So that's how little O'Reilly's can literally change the world by just simple decisions we make that are based on our mission.
You also package some of your own products. So you have salsas and you have canned goods and so forth. And in those, will you on the labels be telling the stories of you know, your farm sourcing or sustainability. And
it's getting harder to tell any story on the label with all the regulations and things that we have to put on them. And who could read them anymore because the print's getting smaller and smaller. But yes, wherever we can. In the package design, tell the story. We are telling it. We're helping the customer at our point of sale on the shelf with our really shelf guide, and it's a phenomenal guide. They can see whether a product has easy by a little icon on the shelf stickers, whether there's sugar that's been added, whether it's organic, whether it's been processed, over-processed, so we have a minimally processed icon. They can tell whether it is nutrient-dense or not. And where this really comes into play is online shopping. With a click of the button, their entire store is just those products. They don't have to see all the products they don't want to see. So if you happen to be a gluten-free shopper and you click on gluten-free, you'll only be presented with the gluten-free items. If you want gluten-free and organic or any mix of those filters for your health, you've got it, and it's boom. You got a store right in front of you, and it makes your shopping experience online really quick.
Are you going to be doing more deliveries too?
We are. It's the fastest growing part of our business right now. Is eCart, which is Click and Collect. That's the online ordering. And we are working with a local startup company for delivery. We're delivering the greater Sacramento region, and I believe we have some deliveries going on in the Bay Area and some areas.
How does that work? So if I go online and I order, I mean, does it come with that day or the next day?
It's 2-hour window, really? Generally, unless they're oversaturated with a lot of a lot of orders. You can get an order picked and ready within 2 hours.
Now, will you do that in the new concept as well? Will it have delivery as well?
No. Oh, well, so they may have bicycle delivery downtown.
Well, That's right. It's really exciting what you're doing. I think, again, I admire somebody that you've been successful with the stores, but picking an area they just think this is the right thing to do, you know, we're going to do it. Now, people want to keep track of your progress on this. Is there a spot online that they just do? They go to the Raley site to keep track of what you're doing, or if they want to see the new concept,
they can go on. There's a website for Market 515. That would be Market, and then 5, and then -one-5.
Okay. Market 515. Well, Mike, I think it's exciting what you're doing. And I'm sure you're starting to get feedback from farmers and consumers and the community that they're happy that you're jumping into this space too. And if I can come back and visit with you, say maybe 3 or 4 years from now, what would you like to be able to tell me then?
Our stores would have been fully transformed to their market segment. We have 4 market segments that we merchandise the stores to, that we've made that full transition to those new markets. And then that Market 515 will be outgrowing and outpacing the growth at Raley's.
Well, it's an important thing you're doing. And then I just want to say one more thing. If you look at being in this food business as you've been in and your family's been in for a long time, what makes you most optimistic about even the food business or in general? What do you look at and say, okay, this is why I feel good about these next several years?
Well, I'm standing on very broad shoulders, 85 years of success here at Raley's. So as my mom says, Mike, don't screw that up. So far, we're not doing that. I think if I look back and see, I can point to and say, you know what? We really did change the way the world eats. You know, we're really making a difference and an impact. We're putting a conscience into the decision-making, a purpose in the decision-making, so it's just not pure ROI.
Boy, I tell you what, that's music to my ears, and I think it will be to people listening to this podcast.
Thank you.
Mike, I'm with your mom. Don't screw up.
Thanks a lot, Roger.
Everybody depends on you. So thanks for being on Farm to Table
today. You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
You You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.